Lord, your word is sweeter than honey. It is a treasure and it endures, and we praise you. And we pray that this morning you would make our hearts sing as we see what you have to say through your spirit here. Help me, Lord, to communicate your word faithfully and clearly, and work in all of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep going. Keep going. Maybe you are struggling to keep going during the lockdown. Perhaps lockdown has taken a real hit on your mental health, and we really feel for you if that's you in that situation. Perhaps you're shielded because of some medical condition, and that's just meant that you just haven't been able to go out at all, and you hear the easing of lockdown, and it's not for you yet, and that really hurts. Keep going. Keep going. Perhaps that you are deeply angered by the treatment that you've seen of George Lloyd, the black man who was effectively murdered by police in Minneapolis. And you wonder, how can it still be that a white policeman can victimise a black person, or plural, white policemen can victimise black people? And you're deeply angered. Keep going. Keep going. This passage, I hope, will feed you today and encourage you. There's something very joyful about this passage. Often people think that God and church and Jesus are all about thou shalt not. And in fact, my earliest memory of going to church was being told off in church in the chapel at RAF Cramwell, told off for walking along the tops of the pews when I was aged about three. There you go. And for many people, God is no, no all the time. That's all that God seems to say to them, no. But in this passage, we are reminded that God actually says yes to us in far more ways than we realise. And we see the gates thrown open and God saying, come on in. We see all that God offers and that his wonderful, loving generosity. It's a passage that is very joyful. And there's only one question really that comes out of it. And it's this: will you take advantage of what God is offering? Will you take advantage of what God is offering? So far in Hebrews, the writer has said, keep going with Jesus. They've started to experience conflict because of their trust in him and following him. And it's not easy to stand out from the crowd in the way that Christians do. Same for us today. It's tempting for them, many of them were Jews, it's tempting them for them to go back to their old religion or to try and add stuff onto it. And the writer says, no, don't go back. Don't try and add things on. Keep going with Jesus. And the theme of keep going dominates our passage today. A little passage, verses 19 to 25 in chapter 10. And keep going dominates this passage, where the storehouses of God's grace are laid open before us with all the resources that we need. And the question is, will you go in and take and feed and enjoy what God offers, what he has on offer? If you have been on the website, you'll see that there's a sheet you can use to fill in and take notes from the sermon. Always a great idea, because although you can come back on YouTube and listen to it again, it's great to help you concentrate while we're learning from God's word together and have something you can look at in your prayers later on. And so here's the first keep going from this passage. Keep going because Jesus has opened up the way to God. Keep going because Jesus has opened up the way to God. The way to God isn't closed. It's open. It's wide open. And it's Jesus. He is the way, and he's the one who's opened it up. The passage here says that the plan of heaven has in it a curtain. And that curtain stands for no entry. It's a no entry curtain. Now, we're used to no entry signs, aren't we? At a road, no entry. Red sign with a white bar across it. No entry. And this curtain is saying, humans, no entry to God. Except now, the curtain is open. How? Through Jesus, the great high priest. Have a look at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us, and he goes on to say some other things which we'll look at. He's using here the picture language of the Old Testament tabernacle. And he says therefore, doesn't he? When you see a therefore, what do you say? What is the therefore there for? It's looking back at what we've seen in chapter 9 and chapter 10, summing up everything we've heard in the last few weeks. And remember that there's this tent in the Old Testament times as the people travelled out of Egypt. And the tent symbolised, there it is up there, God's presence among his people. And the question was, how can a holy God live amongst an unholy people? And so there were sort of zones as you approached the tent. And as you got to every zone, fewer and fewer people could come in. Until you get to the most holy place, which is here in the tabernacle, the tent behind that curtain that's there, the most holy place, and only one person, the high priest, could go in there only once a year and with a special sacrifice. It's a visible demonstration that as we know, as we are, we cannot know God. And that's a demonstration for them back in the times when they actually physically had this tabernacle. And for us today, as we read about it, as we are, left to our own devices, no entry, says the curtain. And it's the same in heaven, the writer says. The curtain is there in heaven, as it were. Why? Well, because we don't glorify God as he is, as he truly is. And instead, we glorify ourselves. It's true, isn't it? Imagine that you were on a Zoom conference call and up popped a screen and it was God. Except you wouldn't notice. We wouldn't notice because we'd be too busy preening ourselves, wouldn't we? We don't glorify God as he truly is. Instead, we glorify ourselves. And so as we are, we cannot know God. And it's a visible demonstration of that. And the curtain before the most holy place says, no entry. But what have we discovered? Therefore, he says, what have we discovered in chapters 9 and 10? We've got a great priest, haven't we? Jesus. And he is both priest and sacrifice. He's sacrifice. He died on the cross. In his death, he paid the price that our sins deserve, the price of death because of God's wrath at our sin. Because God is holy and we're not. He paid that price on the cross. So he's the sacrifice and he's the priest. It's brilliant, isn't it? He goes to heaven because he was on earth. He died, rose, ascended, went to heaven and carried the blood of his sacrifice, as it were, into the heavenly tabernacle, like the high priest on earth would have done. So he offers his sacrifice, meaning that we are cleansed before God. Now, you want to know more about that? Wind back to our YouTube sermons from the last couple of weeks. They're now audio files on the website as well, stlm.uk/sermons, if you want to hear more about that. So where does it leave us? Where does it leave us? Verse 19, let me just read this in a slightly different way. Brothers and sisters, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. The way is the curtain. Do you see? Sorry, get me that right. The new and living way opened for us through the curtain. The way is his body. So where it says that is his body, it's not referring to the curtain, it's referring to the way. So we've got confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. That way is his body. And we have a great priest over the house of God. These are the brilliant truths we've been discovering. So the way to God is wide open and it's Jesus. So keep going because Jesus has opened up the way to God. Now, remember today's question. Will you take advantage? Let's ask it here. Have you taken advantage of what God is offering? Now, there are several of our congregation who are shielded. And if that's you, or maybe you can put yourself in their shoes, imagine that tomorrow, on the government's press conference, someone stands up and says, well, actually, we've decided that shielding has ended, social distancing has ended, we've discovered the coronavirus has been wiped out. I suppose that was true and not just made up. Suppose that actually happened, it was true, and you're a shielded person. What would you be doing on Tuesday? Would you be going, no, I think I'll sit here for another day. I'll stay inside. Would you? No way. Coronavirus over, shielding over, social distancing gone. You'd be out there, wouldn't you? Yeah? Meeting people, walking in the outside air, enjoying the park or something. And so with us here, the way to God is wide open. There is a way to God and it's Jesus. What are you going to do? Oh, no, I think I'll stay inside for one more day. Don't. Go in. Take it and enjoy it. Jesus says, to receive this, we need to repent and believe. He says, repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So repent, turn around from your life going without him and glorifying yourself. Turn to Jesus and believe in what he's done. Will you do this? Will you, have you, taken advantage of what God is offering? Well, this is very joyful, isn't it? Isn't this a wonderful thing? When it comes to God, we're not shielded. We're not locked down. We're free to go and enter. And three things follow. And in fact, they follow the pattern of faith, hope, and love. Here's the first of those three things that follow. Keep going, verse 22, and this is the one that follows the pattern of faith. Keep going to God with a clean conscience. Keep going to God with a clean conscience. Go to him. Fully include him in your life. The Lord Jesus, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, include God in your life, knowing for sure that you are completely right with him, forgiven and accepted through Jesus. Verse 22. Let us, because of all this that we've seen, because Jesus has opened up the way to God, therefore, let us, verse 22, draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. What's that about? Draw near to God with a sincere heart. There's no need to hide. All the barriers are broken down before us and God. He knows exactly what we're like. We can be honest with him. And the full assurance that faith brings. This is the confidence that we've got that was mentioned in verse 19. Because of what Jesus has done, he says, believe and you will receive it. So, for example, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So we can have confidence as we trust in Jesus and the full assurance that faith brings. Having, the verse continues, our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Remember that from last week? This is thinking about being sprinkled with Jesus' death on the cross for us. Just as in the Old Testament sacrifices, that most holy place was sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifices. It's a bit gory, isn't it? But we have been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, spiritually speaking. And so our consciences are cleansed. Before God, we are sinless in his eyes. Amazing. And, he says, having our bodies washed with pure water. Again, this goes back to the Old Testament sacrifice, where that priest, if he was going to enter the most holy place, he would have a full washing with pure water before he did it. And it's a picture of us being clean before God. And maybe there's something about the picture of baptism in there as well. So it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Let us draw near to God like this. Let's fully include God in our lives. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So include him in your worldview. Include him in your longings and in your desires. Include the Lord Jesus in your plans, in your diary, in all that you're thinking of in your life. Don't leave him out. Include him. Draw near to him in that way. Draw near to him and build a relationship with him. Build it in your life. Like you build a relationship with anyone. Spending time with him. Making time to think about God. To talk to God. To hear him speaking to you through his word, the Bible. Carve out time in the day. Draw near to him. Actually in your mind. Through your reading of the Bible and prayer. Build a relationship with him. Let him, in the words of Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10, let him fill you with a knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Build a relationship with him. Draw near to him. Fully include him in your life. And knowing all the time, as you do this, as you include him in your worldview, as you build a relationship with him, knowing that you're fully clean in his sight. Totally forgiven by Jesus. Rejoice. It's a joyful passage, isn't it? Rejoice. Forgiven. Slate clean. Sins washed away. Yes, you. Even you, as you sit there and say, oh, I'm not valuable to anybody. I don't matter to anyone. No one's interested in me. Yes, he is. The Lord Jesus is interested in you. And he has completely washed you clean if you put your trust in him. So in his eyes, you're clean, knowing, and so we can draw near to him knowing this, and we can draw near to him knowing that he's colorblind. He's colorblind. Anyone who trusts in Jesus can draw near. The walls are demolished between us and God, but also between each other. If you think that the color of your skin or someone else's skin makes them more or less acceptable to God, think again. Repent and see God drawing all people to himself, all people, whatever the color of their skin or their background or their education or whatever. Rejoice. Rejoice. Include God in your lives. So here's the question. Will you take advantage of what God is offering? You see, this isn't just something you do on the odd Sunday. You know, turn up to church physically when you could, or tune in on YouTube occasionally. No, no, no. Jesus is for every moment of every day. Will you draw near to him? Will you keep going to God with a clean conscience? Because you can. Because the door is wide open. The offer is there. Will you take advantage of what God is offering? Keep going to God with a clear conscience. And then keep going as well. And this is about hope. If that was about faith, this is about hope. Keep going towards the heavenly city. Keep going towards the heavenly city. Verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Brilliant, isn't it? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because he who promised is faithful. The hope here, and in all of Hebrews, includes two things. It includes that hope of forgiveness today, rescue today, being put right with God so we can draw near today with God. Salvation now, because of Jesus and all he's done. That's the first part of the hope. And the second part of the hope throughout the book of Hebrews is that future hope that Jesus promises of the new covenant being completely fulfilled in a heavenly city, a place where all of Jesus' followers will be with Jesus, seeing him and approaching him in person, face to face. The heavenly city with all his followers. So the today and the not yet. Today forgiven and knowing God. Not yet. Being in the heavenly city with him when he returns. Hope. I don't know about you, but the pandemic, I think, has shaken us. You know, do you get those things popping up on Facebook? A year ago this, or 2 years ago this, and there's this picture of you having fun, having a barbecue or something. And you think, oh, the world has changed. It's completely different. Everything has been shaken. Everything has been shaken. But our hope in Jesus remains unshaken. It's been absolutely solid through all of this. Why? He tells us. 4, verse 23. He who promised is faithful. God has promised, and God keeps his promises. He is faithful. Isn't this brilliant? Yeah? Isn't this wonderful? So, do you grieve when you see the mess this world is in? You see the pictures coming from America of what's going on there, and that video recorded on that camera, the tragic scene with George Floyd. And you wonder, why is there so much hatred in people's hearts? Some people said, didn't they? Oh, the pandemic will make us better people. Oh, no. Sin is there within still. Only Jesus stays the same, and only Jesus can cure us. But keep going. Keep going. Today, trying to make a difference as by being salt and light where you are, with the people you know, with the comments you can make, in the things you say and do. And keep going, knowing that God's plan is secure and that Jesus will return and the heavenly city will be there with all kinds of people from all different nations and backgrounds praising the Lord Jesus. So will you take advantage of what God is offering and keep that eternal perspective in your mind, knowing that your hope in Jesus is absolutely rock solid through all of this? Keep going towards the heavenly city. So faith, hope, and love. Love. Keep going. To church. To encourage. Until Jesus returns. Verse 24 and verse 25. This is why we meet. This is why we meet. Do you trust in Jesus? Then join with other believers. Learn from God's word together. Sing his praise and pray together. Bear each other's burdens. Talk to each other. Find out how you're responding to God's word and how you're bringing Jesus into your life, how you're drawing near to him, each other. Verse 24. Let us, because of the confidence we have in all that Jesus has done, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, the day when Jesus will return, because God is faithful. But you say, David, we can't meet. We can't meet. We're in lockdown. It's true. But what can we do? What can we do? Well, we can encourage each other, can't we? And let me encourage you to watch this service live. It's 11:36 on my watch. What is it on yours? You see, if you're not watching this live, that's fine, okay? It's okay, isn't it? It's great that it's there. You can watch the recording and join in at another time. But here now, there are something like 70-odd people listening and joining in. And people have said to me, David, how can you preach to a camera in a room with a green screen? Because I know there are 70 of you there listening, and it's brilliant. And we're here together, aren't we? Claire and I watched a concert by someone we're a fan of, Yvonne Lyon. She's a Christian folk singer. And it was for Tear Fund. And it was live streamed by Tear Fund. And we sat on our sofa, watched it on our telly, and we felt like we were there because it was going on then. And we knew that although we weren't in some little cafe in Camden with Yvonne Lyon, and she was up in Scotland and we were in Morden, yet there's something special about it being live and participating like that. And I think that's the same with our services here, because we're live. So let me encourage you to join us live if you can, please. Maybe you're listening to this on one of our CDs that we've sent out to our offline people. And we keep asking you to get online in some way. And you say, oh, no, it's OK, I've got BBC services. Well, brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. It's great. Thank you, BBC, for putting on services. But come online and there's something better, something more encouraging. Somehow we can encourage each other through this. And you can't join with Zoom on BBC, but you can do Zoom refreshments here, where you have to bring your own refreshments, but people are there to talk with. Now, what do you talk with in your about in your breakout rooms? Did you hear Joe earlier? What do they talk about? What they've heard in the sermon. Don't think to yourself, that's too heavy, please. That's the best thing in the world, to talk with each other about what God is doing. So if you're offline, please make every effort to come online so you can be encouraged and encourage others. What about this new idea that the government has said that from Monday, tomorrow, you can meet with six people in your garden? What did you think of when you heard of that? Did you think, oh, barbecues? Or did you think, ah, Christians? Well, could you meet at 10:30 on a Sunday with other Christians and watch the service together? You'd have to use tablets and things, several of them, because it'd be hard to see one screen socially distanced. But you could do it, couldn't you? And sing together while watching it together. Wouldn't that be brilliant? Or could you meet to pray with six other Christians? Could we divide our home groups in two and have them earlier in the day while it's still nice weather and meet 2 metres apart, shouting at each other in the garden? Not just barbecues, brothers and sisters, believers. Keep going to church to encourage until Jesus returns. One day, we will have proper services again, God willing, one day. Now, what do you think about that? Do you think, oh, well, actually, I quite enjoy sitting on my sofa. I hope they're going to live stream when they have proper services because it's quite nice not having to get up early and drive into church. No! No! This might be good as we can make it, but this is not the real thing. There is so much better in actually being able to meet. So long for that day, will you, when we can meet together again, safely, without the danger of infecting each other. And when it comes, put your tablet, your phone, your computer away and turn up at the building and join with your brothers and sisters. And don't meet the same people over coffee. Go and meet other people and encourage them in the Lord Jesus until he returns. We have a wonderful diversity, don't we, that we share at St Lawrence. And when we gather in that place, it's great to see people of different colour skins, of different ages, different backgrounds, different sizes, different everything. And won't we rejoice to see that again? So will you? Sorry, I've gone on a bit there. But I think it's great, isn't it, that he encourages us, because of all Jesus has done, to encourage each other. Will you take advantage of what God is offering, and make sure that you are in touch with Jesus' followers? Will you take advantage of what God is offering. It's a passage of joy. It's a passage that feeds us with our hurts and pains. It speaks about faith, hope, and love. Keep going, because Jesus has opened up the way to God. Keep going to God with a clean conscience. Keep going towards the heavenly city. Keep going to church to encourage until Jesus returns. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to take advantage of what you offer here. Thank you that you have thrown open the storehouses of heaven. And most of all, that we can know you through all that Jesus has done, with confidence and with cleansed consciences, as we repent and believe in him. Thank you for that. Help us to keep going. Help us to keep drawing near to you. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on that heavenly city as we live out your faith, the faith in you in our lives. And help us to encourage each other and go there on the way together as much as we can. We pray all this in the name of our wonderful Lord and Saviour Jesus. Amen.